Hello, and welcome to a special episode of The End Zone. I like to channel my inner Bill Romanowski as he likes to address the Raiders every week, whether he gives them good advice, and he will also tell it like it is in case they mess up. And I would like to give that messed up part a special message to the Saints and the Panthers. Guys, you had frickin' home games. At home advantage, you had a chance to be men and win a game at home. Saints, you had a chance to take down the Broncos. The Raiders softened them up for you. They showed you how to beat them. But no, you lost 25-23. Panthers, you are at home playing the Chiefs. You're at home. You had a chance. You were there. You were winning. You had a chance to be men. And you lost.
Cam Newton's not a man.
And how did they lose, Kyle?
That would be Marcus Peters playing pickpocket.
How do you lose? How do you not hold on to a ball and you just give it up?
Especially when it's Kelvin Benjamin, who's the size of a linebacker, and he gives it up to little Marcus Peters.
Okay, back to the rant. Excuse me. Raiders are sitting on easy street. They have a bye week. They're getting interviewed in the, you know, on NFL and ESPN, and they're getting ready for Mexico City on Monday night.
Montezuma's revenge.
And they had a chance to be all alone up in first place going into Monday night. But no, the Saints and the Panthers decide to choke at home and not be men. Make it a little harder for the Raiders. Y'all suck.
Kansas City's in first place.
Yeah, let's do the end zone.
Okay, while Kevin's going to pout, I'm going to welcome everybody to the end zone this week. We're back on schedule. I've dealt with the commissioner's office. All the fines are paid. Draft picks have been given up. Everything's good. We're back on schedule. While Kevin is complaining, you can damn well bet that I am losing my mind in happiness as Kansas City pulled one from out of their proverbial behinds, down 17-0 at halftime.
17-0!
Not even scoring an offensive touchdown, but the defense, as it has done all season, coming through with Eric Berry making one of the beautiful one-handed interceptions and run back for a 42-yard touchdown. And then Marcus Peters, the NFL leader in interceptions, stripping the ball from a guy twice his size and getting us instantly into field goal range, where Cairo Santo, the most automatic kicker in the NFL this season, I don't care if you have Janikowski or whatever, Cairo Santo is the Pro Bowl kicker this year, kicks us to victory and first place because of tiebreaker, because KC Chiefs have already handled their business with the Oakland Raiders in Oakland, no less, and are sitting on top of the AFC West. And there's not a darn thing that the Raider nerd can do about it right now.
Not right now, no. No, I can't right now. Panthers, you suck. You all suck.
More hatred for Cam Newton from the Raider nerd.
17 unanswered points in the fourth quarter, your Chiefs score. And okay, I got to tell you, if you're going to have a turnover, I'm sorry. If you fumble the ball, yes, that sucks. If you fumble a snap, whatever. But if you have the ball taken out of your hand, that is just straight up. That's gangster right there, man.
Kevin, I'm gonna hit you with some numbers too. Since week 5 of last NFL season, the best record in football, that would be the 17-2 Kansas City Chiefs.
And no one's talking about him, too. It's weird. I know, of course, you are. But, I mean, it's weird on social media and all of the sports shows. No one's talking about the Chiefs, man.
Well, because I mean, here's the thing with the Kansas City Chiefs. And I mean, I'll be the first to say it. We don't have these flashy, spectacular players. Probably their most explosive player, Jamaal Charles, has been hurt. But they just play solid, mistake-free football.
Yeah, defense. Yeah, you know, I'm really curious about that upcoming divisional game between the Raiders at Chiefs, because that is gonna, you know, the home game for the Raiders against Denver, that was their biggest game, but the games and the stakes just keep getting bigger and bigger, and that's going to be a huge game, because the Raiders aren't the same team that you guys beat us. You know, our defense is starting to step up. But you guys aren't the same team either. So it's really gonna be interesting. And the Saints and the Broncos game, you know, Broncos go up 10-3, and then the Saints drop 14 points in the third quarter, only 6 in the fourth, while the Broncos do 15, and they lose 25-23.
Here's the thing about that game, Kevin. With one of the most amazing passes I've ever seen Drew Brees throw for a touchdown to assumingly tie that football game.
Yeah, yeah.
And to have that play go like it is, and everybody is complaining about, oh, the Denver player stepped out of bounds. I'm not going to fault the refs for that as much as it kills me to say that. With those
I will.
Those white cleats he had on, that was... It's questionable. It looked like he stepped out.
That was not questionable. That was blatant. It's so funny too, because it's when you look at the sideline of the Saints too. They were watching him because, like, oh, is he going to step out? And then as soon as he does, they all point it out. And I'm sorry, but even the replay shows it, dude.
Well,
I'm sorry. I'm going to disagree with you, man.
Here's the thing for me, though, because, I mean, I'm going to go back to the Chiefs for just a minute. You know, you're talking about
how... This isn't the Chiefs show, buddy.
I know, but you're talking about how the teams aren't the same as when they met just a few weeks ago, and they're not, because next week against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Kansas City finally gets the return of Justin Houston.
Yeah, I'm curious to see the impact that he's going to make, because I remember... We were wondering if we were going to see him in the Raider game, but they kept him out for a couple more weeks. But yeah, it's like I said, the Chiefs, no one's talking about him. They should be. So
yeah. And here's the thing for Kansas City. One of the things that's been a key thing for them since Andy Reid takes over is they have been great at the next man up. A guy goes down, somebody steps up. Justin Houston's been out, yet D Ford, their number one pick from a couple of years ago, who I'll be the first to say was a little slow to develop, leads the team and is one of the NFL's leading sacklers with 10 sacks already this season.
It's funny. I in the beginning of the season when we were at Dragon Con, I remember you were talking with my friend Ray Shetless, because he's a Chiefs fan. And I remember him having that serious conversation with you. He's like, do you think we can win a championship with Alex? Do you think we can win a championship with Alex? And you were kind of, he's like, do you think we can win a championship with Alex?
And I said, if the Denver Broncos can win a championship with the way Peyton Manning was, we can win a championship with Alex Smith.
Dude, okay, what about that awesome barn burner game between the Rams and Jets? 9-6, come on. Well, Jets losing again.
The only solace we can take from this is it was finally enough for Jeff Fisher, and he's finally going to let Jared Goff play.
Yeah, just let the boy play. You know, we need some entertainment out of that team.
Yeah, because Todd Gurley's killed many a fantasy football team this year.
Yeah, geez. 64 yards on 21 attempts.
But they don't, and then they get in the red zone and they don't even use him.
Oh, geez. At least Matt Forte had 20 attempts. He got 90 yards on that. Yeah. So, gosh.
But you want to – let's get serious, though. Let's talk about two games that were absolute barn burners and two of the most fun NFL games this season. And that let's start with the earlier of the two games, the Pittsburgh Steelers-Dallas Cowboys game.
Yeah.
Tony Romo released a statement today talking about Dak Prescott. It's his team now. He didn't need to do that because Dak proved that with winning, going into Pittsburgh and winning in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, they've got everything working for him, and you know, I saw Dak interviewed. You know how Deion Sanders does that kind of little FaceTime interview with the players, like hot on the spot type of thing. And Dak said all the right things. He says he has a great offensive line, and in great running back. But he may be selling himself a little bit short. As much as I don't like the Dallas Cowboys, I like Dak Prescott and what he's saying and what he's doing. And I know for all the fans out there, it's exciting for them. But when it comes to Romo, what else is he going to do? Is he going to be the jerk and say, you know, no, I'm being paid the money. I need to come in. But if he's going to save face, he did the right thing.
Yeah. If he's going to play in the league next year, he did the right thing because he will not be a Dallas Cowboy next year.
You had joked earlier on he's going to go to the Jets.
Tony Romo will be a starting cornerback in the NFL next year. I think it's one of three teams. I mean, and all kidding aside, I think the Jets are a distinct possibility. But I could see him in Chicago. Or do not be surprised if your starting quarterback for the Denver Broncos next year is Tony Romo.
Oh, gosh. I don't know. I think they're going to – I think Simeon's still proven he needs to stay there. I think they stick with him.
They go with the Paxton Lynch route. But it wouldn't surprise me. Elway does crazy things.
Yeah, gosh.
Now, but Matt, you gotta talk about the Pittsburgh Steelers in that game too, because one of the best fake spike plays I've seen in a long time.
Dude, yeah. I don't know. Steelers are in that realm right now. I know they've had a lot of injuries, but it's like, just horrible off years. Now they're 4-5. And then you got to look at Green Bay.
Oh, Green Bay is a mess.
Oh, my God. I mean, it seems like they're a mess everywhere with the exception of maybe the quarterback. Yeah. Here's
the thing. Let's start with the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Pittsburgh Steelers should be still a very scary team because all they have to do is get rolling, and we've seen what they're capable of. So I'm not counting out the Pittsburgh Steelers by any means of the imagination. The Green Bay Packers, on the other hand, stick the fork in them. They are done.
Yeah, you know, four and five and losing 47-25 at the Titans. Ugh.
Well, and the Titans are an improving football team, and I'll get to that in a minute. But Green Bay needs a coaching change. I think they have tuned out Mike McCarthy. I think they need to shake things up. And I think the people of Green Bay need to run Olivia Munn out of town on a rail because she's ruined their quarterback.
She's not as bad as Jessica Simpson and wearing a pink number 9 up in the press box for Tony Romo.
Too, but I mean, you know, I love Olivia Munn. Don't get me wrong, but she's ruined Aaron Rodgers right now.
Jeez. We got to talk about briefly the Monday night game too. Giants win by one over the Bengals to go to 6-3. Giants are kind of putting stuff together there too, man.
Like I said, I've said it before. The last thing you want to see is Eli Manning in the NFL playoffs.
Yeah, exactly. So you got the Giants at 6-3. The other game too, the Eagles at 5-4 now defeated the Falcons. And then, of course, you got the 7-1 Cowboys. Man,
and they just keep rolling. But you're forgetting the other big game from Sunday, Kevin. And we're gonna pay a little visit to Sunday Night Football because
yes,
the Seattle Seahawks are back as a Super Bowl contender because they played a classic game against the New England Patriots, going to New England and winning. And I'm going to say this now. Russell Wilson, when healthy, might be the scariest quarterback in the league because he just finds a way to win.
And, you know, it's interesting. They set the tone for that game in, like, the first quarter. And they took – I don't know if you noticed, but they took the crowd out of that whole game.
Yeah.
They were not the 12th man there. And it was, you know, it was interesting because – Russell Wilson is good when he's healthy, of course, but they seem to cover well. They put some pressure on Brady, and you know, they were showing you how to beat the Patriots.
Yeah. And here's the thing with the Seattle Seahawks. I've never seen a team that is actually more improved when two men are on the field. One is Russell Wilson, but Cam Chancellor is the same, is what Russell Wilson is to the Seahawks offense. He's the same thing for the Seattle defense. They are a different team when Cam Chancellor is on the field.
Well, if I'm not mistaken, the Patriots' loss does something for both you and I, is it puts the Chiefs second is the number one seed chase under behind the Patriots. And then the Raiders are right behind you there with the Chiefs. So that's going to be interesting to see where those playoffs done. Of course, you know, when it comes to the AFC seed thing, it's more about not the number one position, but what's happening between the Chiefs and the Raiders for the AFC West.
Yeah, no kidding. Now, a team I do want to talk about real quick, well, there's a couple of teams, and they both have something in common. They have sophomore season quarterbacks. And I want to start with the Tennessee Titans and Marcus Mariota. Marcus Mariota is starting to understand the NFL, and it's showing.
Well, you can tell if you have him on your fantasy team, man.
Yeah, but when you look at what DeMarco Murray is doing.
God, that dude is just doing his job, and he is just rolling all over the place, man.
Yeah, I mean,
I think he's found a home there.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive, and Mariota's only getting better. I'm going to call it right now. The Tennessee Titans will make the playoffs because they're going to win that sorry excuse for a division in the NFL. Because I am sorry, the Houston Texans are winning ugly against bad football teams. If for some reason they beat your Oakland Raiders on Monday night, I might take them seriously. But as long as Brock Osweiler is back there at quarterback, that's not a football team I can take seriously.
Yeah, I think the Titans are coming out. And you're right about Marcus Mariota. He is learning the NFL, and I think he's a legit quarterback, and I think he's going to be up there. He's definitely going to be up there in the top 10 if he isn't already. Speaking of top 10s, I'd like to go over the power rankings real quick into week 11 here.
Yeah, give me one sec before you do that, though, Kim, because I do want to talk about the other sophomore quarterback in the NFL.
Oh, that's right. I apologize. Yeah, go ahead.
I do want to talk about Tampa Bay's own Jameis Winston, who had one of the craziest plays I've seen in an NFL game in a while this past weekend. Did you see this play, Kevin?
No, paint the picture.
Okay. Buccaneers are about the 22-yard line. Winston drops back to pass, is pressured. He runs all the way to the end zone.
That's right.
And avoids about four guys, comes out of the end zone to about the 11-yard line. Nobody around him. He heaves about a 50-yard bomb to Mike Evans, who makes an amazing catch. The following play, he throws a 43-yard touchdown pass.
Actually, I am familiar with that play, and I didn't see it live in person, but one of my fellow Raider friends posted it on Facebook, and he had the title Nintendo Football.
Yeah, Tecmo Bowl, please. But here's the thing, Kevin. Tampa Bay is still not a great football team. Their defense is a mess. You saw that firsthand a couple of weeks ago.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
However, Jameis Winston started the season off a little rocky, throwing a lot of interceptions. Somebody brought to my attention his last five games and what his stats are. He has 12 passing touchdowns, two interceptions, and a quarterback rating of 106.
That's good.
I think we have two quarterbacks who are legitimate stars in the league, Kevin, as far as young quarterbacks go. And I think we've been kind of missing that. I mean, you add in a Dak Prescott, a Carson Wentz. You know, I think we're finally...
you're gonna miss that because of the overall record of the team. Yeah. You know, the rest of the team has to succeed for, you know, the highlights of individual guys to come together and stuff. So, until Tampa Bay steps it up, you know, he can throw as good as he wants to, but no one's gonna talk about him if their record doesn't back it up. And I'm speaking from firsthand experience because of being a Raider fan. No one talks about the Raiders for the last 10 years except that they suck. But now people are talking about him because they got a winning record, you know?
Yeah. Well, and again, another good young quarterback in Derek Carr, too. So
exactly, yeah. So the power rankings, according to Elliot Harrison here, We've got number one, we've got the Cowboys.
Can't argue that at this point.
No, cannot either. Number two, we've got the Seahawks.
I don't know about that yet. I'd still have, even though they beat New England, I still have to put New England at that number two spot.
Well, you know what? I don't know. I would say yes, because they've also they beat Atlanta. And if you're gonna go into the Patriots and beat them, I'm sorry, that's gonna put you above them if you got a decent record. It's not like a fluke game, you know.
Yeah, well, but I still gotta say, as long as number 12 is back there throwing passes for New England.
Well, yeah, but you know, they showed you how to beat them. Yeah. So it's up to Belichick to kind of fix things and get people doing the right stuff. But that was a textbook example on national television, just like the Raiders did on their Sunday night game against Denver. They showed you how to beat them, but the Saints weren't watching that. Apparently, they were playing the Tecmo Bowl. I don't know. So anyway, number two is the Seahawks at 6-2-1. And then three, of course, we've got the Patriots at 7-2. Right behind the Patriots on rank number four is your Chiefs at 7-2, with the Raiders right behind them. Because, of course, the Chiefs hold the tiebreaker over the Raiders. But I think that's fair. I think your Chiefs are in a position there. And I think that's right. I would put them right behind the Patriots. Definitely number two AFC seed. I think that's fair. Yep. You guys definitely deserve that. Raiders should be, I think, where they are as well. So, and number six is the 7-3 Broncos. Number seven, the Giants creeping back up. This one I'm kind of a little wonky about. Number eight, the Lions at 5-4, and then the Redskins right behind them at 9, and the Eagles at number 10 at 5-4, and then number 11 is the Falcons. The Lions above the Redskins and Eagles?
Well, because the Lions are in first place in their division, I'd have Atlanta higher than those other teams, honestly.
Yeah, because they're at 6-4. Yeah, I would agree with that. But the Falcons are below the Eagles for obvious reasons. They lost to them. So
yeah, but I mean, even still, I'm not sold on the Eagles. They're playing great defense, but their offense has been the Eagles and the Falcons are an interesting mix in that as far as that game went, because you had strength versus strength. You had the Atlanta offense versus that Philly defense, and the weakness was the Philly offense versus the Atlanta defense, and Atlanta's defense is bad. There's no question about that.
Yeah.
So it's an interesting time in the NFL, and a lot of interchangeable. But Detroit, you know, you talk about how frustrated you were with the Raiders bye week. Detroit sat back and ended up in first place without even playing a football game.
Yeah, that's what I wanted the Raiders to happen to the Raiders, but no.
Yeah. But we're about to make it worse for the Raider nerd, because it's time to talk a little fantasy football.
Gosh. Yeah. Okay. So, how did your team do?
I had a pretty good week this week.
Kyle's Commandos are now at 5-5. Did you win? You won your game this last week?
Yes, I did win my game this week.
Yeah, I did not. I'm at 4-6 now. So you are number fourth overall in the standings. We got still Death Touch at 9-1. I believe that is Ben's team there, and he's riding high with Derek Carr. But I'm curious. I wonder who he played as a quarterback. Let's see who he had. He must have played. Oh, he played Ryan Tannehill. Okay.
Tannehill had a big game against San Diego, so.
Yes. So you started Jameis Winston, right?
Yes.
Okay. But you won despite Todd Gurley?
Yeah. Thankfully, you know, I had a little help from Ryan Matthews. And let me take a look. I'm sorry, wrong league for Ryan Matthews. But Melvin Gordon had another big game for me. Allen Robinson actually stepped up and had something. And I got a nice little boost from a returning Doug Martin. Finally.
Oh, okay. I noticed you got Jeremy Maclin on your bench right now. I picked him up in another league, and he has stunk all freaking year. He has maybe had one good game, and that was it. Well, is he on your bench just because you're a Chiefs fan, or has he been – are you planning on playing him?
Probably not playing him. He's been hurt.
I'd rather play Travis Kelce than over him.
Oh yeah, I would too. And there's another, and we'll get to this in waiver wire pickups, but Tyreek Hill.
Yeah, I was debating on it. He's had like maybe one game.
He's had a couple now. But Kansas City getting Spencer Ware back helped immensely too. So, but now for you, Kevin, I mean, we're getting to the point where we're in the last few weeks before playoff runs are going to start here. Is there anybody out there in waiver wire land?
Well, let's actually have a little fun with that right now. Let's go to our own league and who's available on the waiver wire before people start picking them up tomorrow morning. With quarterbacks, you've got Joe Flacco, Case Keenum, Sam Bradford, Alex Smith, Brock Osweiler, and of course, Ryan Fitzpatrick. But let's look at our running back situation that is in our league that any of us can go after. We got to look at projections because they have C.J. Anderson, who's on IR. You got C.J. Procise. Now, with Christine Michaels, is that his name? You said
Christian Michael got cut today. Thomas Rawls is to be back this week from injury.
So does that mean C.J. is a possible waiver wire pickup?
You could look at him, yeah.
And then you got these names I barely can – okay, you got Wendell Smallwood, Rob Kelly, Jalen Richard from Oakland. Okay, so CJ is probably the top pick right now. What did he do this week? Was he at all in again? He got like 31 points. That's actually pretty darn good. Okay. You know, since I suck, maybe I'll go after him. Wide receivers. Let's look at here. We've got Jarvis Landry, Steve Smith, Tyreek Hill, as you mentioned, Rishard Matthews, Dante Moncrief. I can't trust any wide receivers on Indianapolis right now. I don't even want to touch anything. Frank Gore is the only person I would play.
Yeah.
And maybe their kicker. Alex Hearns, he's been a little injured, of course. Is there some tight ends? Of course, that's more of a flex position for us here. Tyler Eifert's available. It's a little thin. Defense wise, is Dallas worth a pickup?
Yeah,
Chiefs probably are.
Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah, I don't know. What do you think? Who other waiver wire pickups?
I do like Tyreek Hill. I mean, Chiefs bias aside, he's put up a couple really good games back to back. We're getting to the point now where there's guys who are getting released because they're not performing this season, but they're still capable of rebounding. You talked about Jarvis Landry of Miami. He was a big player for them last year.
I dropped him. I had him. I think I may have had him in this league. He's on our waiver wire because I dropped him. He was a waste of spot.
Miami's passing game has done nothing this year. I mean, that's the thing, but he's still capable of having a big game.
There's been some passing going on there, just not to him.
Yeah. But no, I mean, one name I'm going to throw out there for some leagues, he might still be floating around because people weren't sure if he was going to play last week or not, but that's James Starks of Green Bay.
Yeah, because he came back from the injured list, right?
Yeah, and he's going to be the starter over Ty Montgomery. It's been announced of that. So, interesting development in Green Bay. You've got the Seattle running back situation. It's right now, this is where you pay close attention to what's going on with teams. If there's even a remote injury or questionable issues, this is where you win your leagues, is these next few weeks with the smart waiver wire pickups.
I got a question for you. I was talking with a coworker of mine who's a Cleveland Browns fan, and we know Norm's a Cleveland Browns fan. Norman was joking to me that he's going to change his name to 0-10. real quick, you are picking the number one pick for the Browns next year. What position are you going for?
In this case, with Cleveland, it's best player available. One, I think Cody Kessler has played well enough that he deserves a shot to at least compete for that job next year.
So you're not going quarterback?
Not with what, for two reasons. One, there's a lot better players than the quarterbacks that are going to be available in this draft. And I got to say, there's none of these quarterbacks that are coming out of college this year that I'm sold on as being quality NFL quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Even last year, I thought Carson Wentz was going to be, I think he was my pick to be the best quarterback out of this draft. And I look, I mean, everybody's high on like Deshaun Watson, and I'm like, he could be a good NFL quarterback. But you know who he reminds me of, Kevin, is Tyrod Taylor of Buffalo.
Right, yeah.
And I'm not spending my number one pick overall on Tyrod Taylor. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, I guess we should look at the upcoming games here. That's where we are, because, you know, we know not to trust Kevin with fantasy advice this year. So. All right, so is there any games coming up that you think are, you know, give me a couple games that are must-watches for you, you think.
Okay, let's take a look. I'm still stuck on a little bit of a load here. Hold on, it's popping up.
Well, let's look at the primetime games here. The Thursday night game is Carolina-New Orleans. Nope. I'm sleeping through that one. Don't even ask me about that game. I don't care. I'm mad at both those teams. Both those teams should have done their job last week, and they did not. So, another lame thing. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm going to bring up something with you real quick. I was having this discussion at work. I'm done with Thursday night games. Can we just get rid of them?
Yeah, I'm with you. I think the idea that they try to do of having divisional matchups every Thursday to keep kind of an interest in them was a good idea. But the Thursday night games have been – the only time there should be Thursday night games is I don't mind the opening game of the season being on a Thursday night and the Thanksgiving games.
Yeah, I don't mind that either. I like it as an opening game. That's fine, but – the matches they've been having have been lame. The only interest I have obviously is the divisional matchup between our two teams coming up probably in a month, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like 3 weeks away.
Yeah, so and that one has turned in that one's going to turn into an important game for obvious reasons, but I'm done with it. I'd rather have them move those games back to Sunday. I like the Sunday night and I like the Monday night one. And then later in the season, I don't mind the Saturday games as well when college is done. So,
yeah. Now, here's the thing. I'm looking at the schedule. This is a pretty bunch of dog week. I'm going to tell you, there's one game on this schedule as far as what could have interest to me. Actually, I'll go two. The 4:25 game, Seattle and Philadelphia, and the Sunday night game, Washington at Green Bay.
No, it's Green Bay at Washington. Washington.
You're right. The rest of these games are just, I'm sorry, Kevin, they're dogs.
Yeah, you're right. Indianapolis, Tennessee, lame. Detroit, Jacksonville, Kansas City, Tampa Bay, Giants, Chicago, Minnesota, Arizona, Minnesota at Minnesota. Cincinnati, Buffalo. Those are important to those two teams. Dallas and Baltimore, actually, that might probably be probably be an entertaining game there. But yeah, you're right. It is not exciting. Of course, I have personal interest with the Monday night game at Mexico City, which is a home game for Oakland against Houston. Oakland's favored by 6. Of course, the matchup isn't great. Of course, it's not divisional. But Houston is winning that division right now.
Yeah, this actually, you know what, as much as I hate to say this for you, Kevin, this game to me kind of screams like it could be a trap game for the Raiders.
True. But what I'm curious about is Mexico, they do love American football down there, but I know there's a lot of Raider fans down there, but it's also a lot of Cowboy fans. You know, if this was like Oakland and Dallas, I think it would be a much bigger game. Of course, I thought the San Diego game was going to be a trap game. I thought the Jacksonville game was going to be a trap game. You know, even I thought the Tampa Bay game could have been a trap game, but Raiders keep surprising me. So we'll see. Yeah.
No, I mean, I'm not saying, I mean, they should handle Houston, but you know, you are talking about coming off your bye week, being in Mexico City. Houston's got enough defense to make it interesting.
We'll see. I think Oakland's already down there. They've been getting used to the it's higher than the Mile High. It's a city a lot higher than that, so they got to get used to the atmosphere.
No, I have a question too. Were they able to get over the wall?
Yeah, they flew right over there with that buddy. Bye week, we've got Atlanta, Denver, Jets, and San Diego on bye weeks right now. So, The thing with this game with or being an Oakland fan is that we got to win this game to kind of stay with the race with your Kansas City Chiefs, because your Kansas City is playing at home against Tampa Bay. And I want to give a shout out to the local Atlanta Tampa Bay club, because one of their members, Mark Goodman, came over to visit us at our Raider club, and very nice guy. And I met with him and my other good friend, John, who is the president of the Atlanta club here for Tampa Bay. When I went down to visit you, I went to go visit their pregame party, and that was a lot of fun. But I'm going to go watch this game with them at their club, hang out with them, since our game is until Monday night. And we're hoping that I'm going to be rooting for Tampa Bay.
Oh, I'm sure you are. If this game was in Tampa, I would actually have a little concern. Tampa Bay's offense is playing pretty well, but in Kansas City, that atmosphere, Kevin. That
it's tough to win there, man. It's real tough to win there.
So now, you know, we got to talk about too what's going on the Fandom Podcast Network, Kevin, because lots of fun stuff. We got Culture Clash, our regular weekly news show. Blood of Kings is all over the place. We got LashCon coming up. We've got Norman talking about him participating in the Sword Experience with Adrian Paul himself, which was an amazing time for him. We've got Couch Potato Theater, where we're going to visit Eternia, Kevin.
We're going to visit what?
Eternia.
Visit Eternia. That is Masters of the Universe.
Absolutely. Dolph Lundgren at his finest.
I want to give a shout out to Davis and the other show that we just completed was part four of the 1986 Fandom Flashback. He did a great little section on the 1986 toys that came out. And can you remind me of the name of that Masters of the Universe He-Man playset? That's
it was
really
Eternia.
Rare.
Eternia.
Okay. Yeah, man. like I said, that's mythical right there, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Of course, and you know, one of the toys that was big in 86 that we didn't mention in that flashback, but 86 was about prime time for starting lineups. Do you remember those, Kevin?
The sports figures, right?
The sports figures.
That's right. Gosh, I forgot about that. Yeah.
So that's a little fun one. Of course, and you know, we got some specials coming up for Fandom Podcast Network. The holidays are right around the corner. We got LashCon coming up. We're excited about that. Exciting times here at the network. I mean, you know, and I've got to say a thank you to all the listeners out there who supported the End Zone, because we know it's something a little different from anything else we do on the network, but you guys have been really positive for it, and we're very happy for that. So it lets us know when we do something different, you guys are behind us, and we really appreciate it.
And Kyle and I, as much as a big fan we are with superheroes and Star Wars and Star Trek and Highlander and all that, it's nice to talk some sports.
Absolutely. And with that, I think it's time to go put the helmet straps on and go get ready to actually watch some football in week 11, Kevin.
Yeah, I know. I'm actually excited about this.
and I'm excited for week 12, because we're going to have some Thanksgiving games to talk about.
That's right. That's right.
So I think, Kevin, it's time. Last week I ran the long route. This week I'm sending you, because I'm tired and I've got a cold and I'm out of breath. So you're running the fly route and I'm throwing it deep. And we're going to catch everybody next week here in the End Zone. Thank you for listening and have a great night.